It is Spook Your Mama Week, and the best part about Spook Your Mama Week, at least in my opinion, is, by the way, please do give your mom my best and give them a little spook. Scare them a little bit. You gotta keep them on the toes. There was a list recently updated for 2021. That is the year we're living in case you were under a rock, for best and worst candies. Top 10, both sides. We have Rich Keefe joining us. Billy here, as always. I'm putting no more than 3 minutes on the clock. Fire away. Go one by one so I can try to keep track. What is the best and worst candy?
All right, best is got to be Reese's Cup.
And that is number one remaining for 5 years straight.
Twix, they're all Twix.
Twix is on the best list at number seven, down 1 year spot from number six.
Snickers.
Snickers is number four, down one spot from number three.
Milky Way?
No.
Either way, no.
No, not on there.
No, people don't like Milky Ways. They suck.
I know it's polarizing, but I think enough people like Three Musketeers.
No. That's in the too much nougat category. People aren't loving the nougat.
It's a bad category too, right? So Almond Joy?
Almond Joy? How dare you say something? Almond Joy not on the bad list.
Candy corn.
Candy corn number one. I think it's kind of becoming the Nickelback of candy. Like it's hated just because other people hate it.
Candy corn's absolute trash,
though. I actually love it. And peeps.
I like the pumpkins. I like the pumpkins.
Yeah, pumpkins. Starburst?
Starburst not on the list.
Skittles?
You're on track. Skittles, number three, up number one from number four last year. There's one very obvious candy that everybody just eats, whether you like it or not.
M&M's.
M&M's number two.
Yep. All right.
So you got number five is a fruity. It's a fruity.
Juju Beats?
Sour Patch Kids.
Sour Patch Kids. Thank God we have someone with a mind here. Yep. So you're missing number 8, 9, and 10.
On the good list? Okay.
Yeah, you have a chocolate, like a solid chocolate.
Crunch.
No, close.
Hershey's. Regular
Hershey's. Hershey's. Okay. Hershey's is number 8. Up two spots from number 10. People loving their chocolate. And
nice little move. A sneaky move by Hershey's there.
Yeah, a little lockdown.
Hershey squared, if you will.
I'll give you a hint. Number 9, Bart Simpson.
Oh, Butterfinger. Butterfinger.
I don't like Butterfinger. Awful.
No. Yeah. Neither one of you like Butterfingers? You don't like Cappies?
No, I lay a bit on the list. Yeah.
Okay. Number 10 is another more on the, a hard fruity.
Jolly Rancher?
Good guess.
Oh, that is a good guess. Hard fruity is the clue.
Yeah.
Hard fruity. Sweet Tarts.
Close. Sweet Tarts actually on the worst list.
Oh, it's on the bad list.
Yeah. Smarties, technically. But I'm
going to give it. Is Good and Plenty on the bad list?
Good and Plenty is on the bad list. Number 9.
Oh, fucking Chode jeans.
Junk.
Trash. Let's see.
Number 10 comes in a box.
Milk Dud. Oh, no. You said fruity.
Yeah, I have no clue then.
They slide. You slide the side.
Nerds.
Well, okay, they're good though.
I heard Nerds is a new podcast that's going to be reacting to Dork.
Damn it. Just a bunch of smart guys.
Okay, so for the bad ones, you got some real, like, this. I don't know who hands out this candy, but it involves raisins.
Bazooka Joe bubblegum. I always hated when I got those.
Technically, no.
Fucking gum?
I'm going to be honest. Here's one I'm just going to give you because I don't know how to. One of these is called Peanut Butter Kisses.
Ugh. No, I don't know that one.
It looks like taffy, but
there's the old circus peanuts. Is that
yeah? Those
number two.
That's a peanut.
Who gives those out? Those aren't individually like wrapped. No. Those are like big bags.
Just throw them in there. Okay, one of the I'm trying to think of like this is
bad.
Another chocolate, but like not chocolate, like chewy chocolate.
Oh, Tootsie Roll.
Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, that's a waste.
Bad boy. He's number 8.
Get those at Planet Fitness if you want.
Some people use this terminology for the hashish. It's also a candy name. It's a female name.
Oh, Mary Jane's?
Mary Jane's. I didn't even
know that was a candy. I just knew what you were talking about.
Mary Jane's no longer in limbo following I guess it was a Necco product.
Speaking of Mary Jane's, we're at like 420 on this bit.
Yeah.
All right, screw it. So the other ones, do you want to give any more guesses? You get one more guess each on the back.
For the worst?
Yep.
I feel like we hit most of them.
You have one, two, three. I gave you Smarties. I'm going to just say Necco wafers. It's going to be hard to guess. Then you have
Good and Fruity.
What the hell is Good and Fruity?
It's like a Good and Plenty.
You're missing two. One is a beverage turned into a candy.
Those little root beers?
I'll give that. It's a the wax Coke bottles.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. Okay. Right.
And then the last one is just some people like it from like its famous form, but when you changes colors, people don't like it. It's more in the fruity.
Oh.
No.
Swedish Fish?
No, you're on the right track. On the right track.
Ah.
Bill, they so like
it's,
it.
It's a gummy?
Gummy-ish, and they like it in red. They don't like it in this color.
Ooh, licorice.
Oh, licorice. Yeah. Black licorice. Yeah, that is terrible.
You know what? Yes. Not a good look on you, world. Not a good look on you, world.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about pop culture that they like, and they'll, the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. I'm definitely out of breath after that one. Don't know what's happened to me today, but you can follow me across all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. You can check out this little show right here in its small little corner of the Twitterverse at Pop Culture PD, because we couldn't fit all the characters, because that's just not how it works. And you can, and when you do hit that follow button, Bill, it'll instantly make you more stabbier. More stabbier. Put that one in the dictionary. Cowards. And with me as always, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be found on Twitter. Hard to find these days because he's the bad boy of Twitter getting booted off left and right. He is at Billy Yee 2411 across all other social media platforms at Billy D 2411 or 1150. I always get it confused. His 11. Email changes. He's banned from other websites. Are you even on Meta, dude? Are you even on Meta?
I saw that today. Was that real? That was real.
Two things very real about today. Facebook, now called Meta, and we found out Sweet Baby Ray's still rocks.
All right.
Those are the two things we found out. And Bill, most importantly, your OnlyFans is kicked up. You're doing the Halloween dong special, I found out, which I'm really appreciative of. So all you have to do is type in Billy's Candy Corn for 15% off of Billy's OnlyFans. So you can get that roughly.
It's tri-colored like that too.
Oh, I love that about you, Bill. You can get that during the simulcast of them Pineapple Boys. He's very good. How are you, man?
Hello. I'm doing good. Scream 3, everybody. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. That's it. And our very special guest bringing in for this trilogy of hosts, he is from the Dork Podcast. I wish I could remember that guy from Milwaukee, how he introduced you. He's got that Dork Podcast. He's Rich Keefe. How are you, Rich?
I am great. And I would also say this. I appreciate you guys bringing me in for this because it proves that you know I'm the biggest Scream fan you know. Because nobody else would agree to do Scream 3 except for me. So I actually take it as a compliment.
Twofold. One, yeah. And two, I think we have...
Rossi didn't want anybody from the DSG to do them for some reason.
Oh, he's outsourcing the whole thing, huh?
We have outsourced.
What's the point of having a podcast network if you're just going to go out there and grab other randos?
That's what I'm saying.
Listen, this is why, because I wasn't going to get picked on. So Scream 3 will be the title of the podcast. I'm trying not to steal everything from everybody else's goddamn podcast today.
But I'm
going to tell you right now, I'm full wood, full chub. Good. I'm super excited. No sleep last night. Attended AEW in Boston, but the news trickles into the Dork Podcast because today breaking as well. Whenever you're hearing this, make sure you subscribe to Dork. Make sure you check it out because this Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you will have the legendary, especially internet legend outside of wrestling, now AEW star, former Undisputed Era mainstay of NXT, former champion Adam Cole, baby. Dude,
I am so excited, man. I honestly, and not just because he agreed to do it, he's the first person I would want to. Like, if they gave me the whole roster, that's the guy I wanted to talk to anyway. So this isn't like, oh, so-and-so couldn't do it. No. I specifically wanted Adam Cole. I only asked for Adam Cole, and they were like, yeah, he can do it. And so I am so pumped because, yeah, there's plenty of wrestling to talk about with him, but he is a video gamer, man. He is all about video games, and it's going to be a blast to just shoot the shit with him.
Yeah, I always joke about it because I, you know, I've said like when you have certain guests on now on the radio show, you had Brian Danielson recently, which like that's my dude. Great.
Chris Jericho was an amazing interview.
Jericho was the man. Oh my God, Jericho was so good.
Not, he wouldn't not get off the air.
Wasn't, but yeah, he was like if he was in person, I honestly think he would have just sat in for the hour. Like he just he loved it so much.
Yeah, he's always like you listen to him across like different interviews. Yeah. Like he's just solid. But I think the thing that I for this like literally there's times when I'm like, oh, I should just pepper give you stuff to ask. Like because I think I know. This one, it's almost like let Davey drive because this is like I feel like him and Davey are going to literally like become best friends
if Davey can make it.
Oh, spoiler.
okay, he's in the three clubs tough for a teacher.
Yeah, as a teacher and a coach, kind of tough to grab a 3 o'clock time slot, Rossi. But we will see what we can do.
Way to kill it. Way to just be.
I think I can become best friends with them too. But yeah, okay, yeah. Whatever. It's fine. I guess
you might do okay. You've done one of these or two in your life. Anyways, today we are talking Scream 3. It could go down as one of the greatest podcasts about a horrible, horrible ass movie, but we'll talk about it because, Bill, before I even go through a little rigmarole here, when was the last time you saw Scream 3 or have you ever seen it before this?
Never. Never in my life. And Scream 1 is probably one of my favorite movies, but I just listened to the dork you guys reviewing all of the 2021 horror movies. You guys have seen more horror movies this year than I have in my life. I've seen maybe 15, so I haven't seen a lot. But I'll tell you what, Scream, I'm in on.
Yeah.
Even this one.
Oh, okay. We'll get to it. So
I'm giving it away a little bit.
Talk about it.
One of my favorite things to read every time, just the way they give you one sentence about a movie. So the IMD info for Scream 3 is while Sydney and her friends visit Hollywood set of Stab 3, the third film based on the Woodsboro murders, another Ghostface killer rises to terrorize them. We got most of the same stars coming back. David Arquette, Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, Patrick Dempsey. Hey, little sexy bastard. He jumps in.
Steamy or McDreamy. Not sure which. Never seen the show, but I know he's one of those two.
I think he's the dreamy. I think the steamy guy was the gray-haired guy.
Got it.
Yeah. They both could get it, though. Jenny McCarthy, meow. Right after post-prime. Parker Posey, she can get it. You had Liv Schreiber reviving his roles. Cotton Wary, who is playing the role of Rich Keefe today. You had Patrick Warburton, if I always say that name odd. Love that he was in this movie. Jamie Kennedy in his small role, Carrie Fisher, Roger L. Jackson with the voice of Ghostface. We can talk about some of the other co-stars in this film as we get into it. The movie was released, I like all Screams, just throw it out there in the beginning of the year, February 4th of 2000. So, Geef, you might be new to this part on our podcast. We do a little set the scene of what was happening in the world. Okay. Right. February 4th, 2000. Where were you in your life at that time?
I was a high school student. God, so I think sophomore year. Yep, sophomore year because the spring was 2000. I graduated in 02. So yeah. So I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, because I think February,
I was probably playing basketball.
We were freshmen.
Freshmen, yeah. Okay, so this movie was released that date. What was the price of gas? This is a cross the United States average price.
So I always go regular, but you got to think about the premium, and it's like the middle.
Okay. Because I got my license that March. So I turned 16 March of 2000. So I remember I would obviously got gas. And I remember it was pretty goddamn cheap. At least in New Hampshire, I was like under a buck. But if we're going national score, I'll go $1, Bob. That'll be my guess. It was super cheap back then.
Okay.
I'm going to go 101 and finally win one.
Well, I'm not giving you credit for that. This is no price right rules. It was 132 average price across the United States. Northeast. On this date,
super cheap.
Was 88 cents.
Yep, yes. I remember.
Oh, yeah.
There was Northeast a place, average.
99 cents, I'd get it.
There was a Cumberland Farms near me that I remember it was like 89 cents. And I remember like across the street, it was like 91. And I'm like, nope, this guy over here, he gets it.
And at Cummies, too, you'd get a full cup of coffee, too.
You know what? That's when people used to just go for drives. Just go for drives.
Good, sure.
You know, nothing clears the mind like a good drive. Number one record in the United States. Remember this. We're leading to Valentine's Day.
So 2000, could that still be like an NSYNC?
It could still be.
That way?
It's not.
It's not NSYNC.
It's not NSYNC.
So it's not I Want It That Way either. Huh? That was a summer song.
That was 99.
Yeah.
Pretty close to 99.
I will give you a hint because it's going to be really hard. It's a band that had a massive hit talking about a Chicka Cherry Cola.
Oh, Soul Asylum?
No, Soul Asylum.
Who sings that? Savage Garden.
Savage Garden. What would the song be? Wow. What would the
I don't know.
It's not good.
Yeah, go ahead.
No,
it's
no,
not
no.
Truly Madly Deeply.
No,
that was their other hit.
No, yeah. That was the other hit. That was previous. That was 98.
This was
my dedication to my girlfriend at the time, who I never really saw. It was just on the phone. I Knew I Love You. I Knew I Love You before I met you.
Oh, wow.
First ever catfish.
Yep. I was the original catfish. She's like, you're
Canada.
You're really handsome, right? I'm like, super. How tall are you? 6 foot washboard abs. The
like,
number
one model in Canada. You're like, oh, we're a perfect couple.
The number one movie in the world right before Scream took over.
Oh, man.
I can't even give you a hint. I've never heard of this movie.
Road Trip? Oh, so not Road Trip.
I wish. Oh. I'm just going to give you this one, Bill. Bill, you can just throw
it. I'm terrible at these anyways. I always throw out like Titanic, so I don't know.
It was Eye of the Beholder with Ian McGregor.
Wow.
Go ahead and give that a watch.
Well, February, so this was the number one movie before Scream 3 came out, because February is a terrible time for movies. It might be like a couple of like late Oscar pushes maybe, but like not a movie that any of us would really want to see.
I looked at the info in this movie and I just stopped after I read. It's called Eye of the Beholder and the character's name is Eye. I'm like, we're good. We're good. We're going to clean it up. Who was the WCW champion?
Keith, I'll let you go.
In 2000, Hogan? Yeah.
Good guess, but no.
Oh, so the Big Show or Paul White?
Nope, oh, no. Goldberg?
Good guess. Also, no.
Kevin Nash?
Nope. Give me one more each.
Did you say DDP? Who's your first guess?
He said Big Show.
Diamond Dallas Page?
Not Diamond Dallas Page.
And not Goldberg?
No. The belt switched 22 times during the year 2000, just so you guys know.
Good Lord. That's a lot
of vacancies.
So
was it vacant?
It was not. No.
David Arquette.
Good guess. I was hoping. That's what I was hoping you were going to go.
Right.
He already promoted that movie.
Right.
Okay, I will tell you now. Well, Bill, you want to give it?
No, that was at the end.
It was Sid Vicious. Sid Vicious.
Really?
Oh, my God. Before he broke his leg?
No, it was a year before. That was 2001. And WWF champion was?
I'll give Keith the honors again.
The Rock?
Nope.
2000, I'll go Stone Cold.
Nope. Injured that year.
Oh. Was this? No.
Okay. Triple H.
Triple H.
Yeah, good.
Running promos for 25 minutes. God, what a time to be alive. Now people just make fun of wrestlers like that. All right, so that sets the scene for the year 2000 when this movie was released. The ratings in this movie, IMDb 5.8 out of 10, Rotten Tomatoes 40% critic score, 37% user score.
Oh,
again, this is the second movie in a row for Scream. Critics higher than users. Metacritic 56 out of 100. Google gives it an 87% thumbs up. I think all Google movies, people just give it thumbs up.
Yeah, why not?
It's just Google. Every movie's Google approved. And then there wasn't a ton for reviews that really stood out to me, but we got to give our guy Roger Ebert, rest in peace, says the characters are so thin, they're transparent. But praises Campbell's appearance, saying the camera loves her. She could become a really big star. And then giggle at a clip from the film at her AFI tribute. Don't even know what that means. That sentence makes no sense. But
he put her way over.
Yeah.
He puts her over. And by the way, now we'll get into this. Neve Campbell, 22 minutes of screen time in this movie.
Wow.
Really? Because she felt like she dominated. It's a good performance because I liked her.
You and Roger Ebert can agree there. Let's dive into our little categories here. We kick it. Oh, actually, first, let me do this. 1-star review or 10-star review? Which one do you guys want first?
Always bad.
Yeah.
They're all kind of bad. So 1-star review for Scream on IMDb says Scream 3 is horrible and a joke to the rest of the franchise, abandoning any horror or suspense. The worst reveal of a killer, totally cliche, some really crappy characters, and you could not wait to get it. You cannot wait to see get it. That's literally how it's read, written. Everything about this movie sucks.
Damn.
Killed him. Yeah. Got him. 10-star review. I think this film is great and serves an excellent way to close out the awesome Scream trilogy. This was written in 2002. It was
good for him.
It was very well written, acted, and every bit of creepy thrills, excitement made it more, made it such a great film and a great thrill to watch. Highly recommend to any horror fan.
Signed, New Blaster 69.
So we'll go into a curtain jerker. Keith, did you like Scream 3?
When I first saw it, yes. I think there are unfortunately a lot of, maybe too many things wrong with it. I like it because it's in the Scream universe. This is sort of the long answer. I like it because of that. But overall, it is clearly the weakest of the four Scream movies. So I like it because it's Ghostface. I'll leave it at that. Like, I like it just because it's Scream.
Billy, did you like Scream 3?
Again, I'm kind of in that ballpark because I haven't seen Scream 4 yet, so I don't know that it's worse than that. I loved it because I'm with Sid, I'm with Gail, I'm with Dewey. I had a good time. The kills aren't... Like, is it a good movie? No, but you asked me, did I like it? I enjoyed the hell out of it. I had fun watching it. I don't really like... I don't like being scared. And, like, this isn't, like... I hate any, like, limbs getting cut off or, like, full decapitations. So this is like my speed horror movie. So
have you ever seen The Human Centipede?
See, that I watched a Daniel Tosh 50-minute review of it, and it made me physically sick. Just him talking about it. Like horror, I think I'd like the ones, like if you could recommend me ones that don't have gruesomeness, yeah. I could do it.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of those. There's some great ones of that. Yeah.
Like, I like Silence of the Lambs. I like Jaws. Like, that's my kind of horror. And this is just on that level where it's not like,
I will say for me, I saw this in theaters for my birthday. My birthday's in January. I was 15. My buddy Pat, I was just texting him earlier. He was 13. My sister was 21. Somehow got us in. I don't know how. But she's we saw this in theaters. What's that?
She's an adult.
Yeah, but I don't think you're allowed to bring, like...
Yeah, she's a guardian.
No, they have to go with you. Because I remember this whole... They started to crack more, I think, when we were, like, 16. And I remember my dad dropped us off before I got my license. So, actually, maybe I must have been 15 to see American Pie. And they were like, you can go if he goes in with you. My dad's like, I'm not wasting my time with these guys. Like, I'm not watching with this. So I was like, so we had to go see some shit movie. But... Yeah, so I think if she went with you, I think you're good.
Well, that's what happened. I remember absolutely loving this movie in theaters. Because first of all, you're 15. I just got a basketball practice. I had a big thing of popcorn in front of me. It was the best experience ever.
Could have put on anything. Could have been a goddamn donkey show, and I would have loved it.
Could have been the movie Snow Day. I don't know if you see that, but put me some popcorn, I'm in. But this movie, I think once it came to DVD and I started collecting movies, and I like loved Scream. I loved all this. I remember rewatching this film and literally being like, wow, this is not good. Like there's very little quality to this film. And there's not much I like about it. So early me, kind of like Keith, liked it. Yeah. I don't care if it's in the Screamverse or not. I will talk about how I think you can straight up kick it out and we can reboot this whole franchise, which like everybody else is, and it'll be a better franchise for it. But what did you guys think, Keith, about the casting in this film? We had some of our returning favorites, some new actors being thrown in.
So I think it was fine. Like, I think it was highlighted by a couple. It was just okay in other places. And then it was, you know, like below average, I suppose. Like Parker Posey was great. Like, I love Parker Posey. I love Parker Posey in everything and her character. But this is also where people either might like the movie or dislike the movie, because they definitely lean way more comedy than they did in the first two. And so she's a comedic character. Patrick Warburton is a comedic character, although being like the very straight guy. A lot of the people that play actors or actresses in the Stab movie are just kind of comedic effect. Like Jenny McCarthy is also like comedic effect. So like that part's fine. And then, I mean, Courtney Cox, Nev Campbell, and even David Arquette, even if you don't like David Arquette, like they are really good as these characters. So the casting's fine.
Bill?
I mean, Dion Richmond, what more can you say? I mean, and that's a huge inside psych thing because one of the main characters kind of looks like Dion Richmond. But I thought it was fine, to Keith's point. Like Jenny McCarthy, I like the fact that they were like, oh, I'm a 27-year-old. No, I'm a 31-year-old playing a 27-year-old. I kind of like they lean still into that like meta kind of Scream-esque universe that they always have. I mean, obviously this one wasn't as good and there's so much carryover from the other movies, but it was on the whole fine. Like I don't
I
like
didn't, I didn't like the other cop. Like, I didn't love Patrick Dempsey. The other cop I thought was just an absolute turd.
He does have one of my favorite lines in the movie, which will be my acted out.
Okay. We'll save that. Like, I actually, my...
But he was terrible.
Patrick Dempsey personally, because I thought he added to the intrigue, because I thought he was a killer the whole time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, yes. Clearly he had the profile of Sydney. You're seeing things like it opened up some questions for me, especially coming from a cop perspective, because I didn't know. I thought there was going to be something with Dewey in there. I loved Courtney Cox in this film. And to Keith's point, I loved her and Parker Posey, like the real Gale Weathers, the actor Gale Weathers. Like, that was brilliant. That was, I think, the best part. And this is also a good part to, like, I know we'll get into writing and directing next, but like the writing of this movie, we lost Kevin Williams there. We lost everything that made what Scream 1 and 2 is lovable. We lost that. So this is where I think they lean too much comedy. There's not that much blood in this film. But yeah, for the characters themselves, I think they focus too much on these new characters that were in Stab 3 that for me, it's like they didn't tie it all in. Like, they weren't really involved. Yes, we know one was, but like, they weren't really like overly involved, the actors. I was expecting something more out of this. I was expecting some larger twist. Like, all these people are involved with some. There's this huge thing. Like, just kill Sydney, kill the bitch. No. And evil dies tonight, by the way.
Well, to your point, though, the Patrick Dempsey thing, I did really like, because I don't know how big he was in 2000. But once I saw him, I was like, this guy is the killer. Like, 100%. I was like, this is it. Because in Scream 2, immediately I was like, it's that guy and that woman. And like off the bat, I was like, oh, it's this fucking guy. And they carried that till the very end. So his casting, I don't know if he was a big guy at the time, but for me, retroactively, it was huge.
No, I think they were bringing him back. Like, I think this actually helped. I think this helped the Patrick Dempsey resurgence in a weird way.
Yes. Would we call it the
Renaissance?
Yeah, but I'm trying to, how do you, Patrick Dempsey-ance?
Dempsey-ance?
Anyway, there you go. We'll get goo on that later. Speak and Spell, the acting and writing. So kind of tying back into where we left off. Keith, what did you think of the acting and writing in good old Scream 3?
Well, so this is what I've read and all the different behind the scenes, like different documentary videos and everything that I saw. I think it was really, really impacted by Columbine, because that came out around a similar time. And so this, if you notice, is the only Scream movie that doesn't take place at a school. And it's also got the least graphic kills. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they had to skew more comedy, which it's not that funny. Like, there's a few like aha moments, but it's not that funny. And they go away from like the real kind of like scares of it. And I think that really, really ended up hurting the movie overall. They didn't really know what they wanted to do. And apparently, like, there's that good line that Jenny McCarthy has where she's like, oh, what is this? Another rewrite? And apparently that's like sort of an inside joke to the cast, because there was constant rewrites on this as well. So I think whatever the movie was to begin with got changed so many times that this is what you're left with. So the writing kind of sucks, but I think it sucks for like they have an excuse for it.
Are you building in excuses? Building excuses for
I mean, film. The plot was preposterous. I hated the reveal. I hated so much about what this movie was in, like, the scope of it.
Yeah.
I liked being in it, but, like, so much about the writing, like, with a couple of pen strokes, you could have changed so many different things. I, like, the only character I liked written, displayed, was Patrick Dempsey a lot. There's so many, like, little things in my notes that I have, like, I hated the Sydney mom voice. Like, how the fuck do you get her mom's voice?
We're
like,
going to get there.
That's like ridiculous. There were so many like weird things. I did, though, like the opening and the ending, which I think is a Scream hallmark. Like, the opening, it's the worst of the three. The ending's the worst of the three, but it still was good. Like, I like the Cotton Weary thing, and I like the way it ended. Besides the reveal, I do always like the killer coming back to life. So it still was good, and on a whole, like, for the amount of horror movies I've seen, entertaining, but definitely the worst of the three I've seen.
Yeah, for me, acting-wise, I feel like this is where David Arquette, like, fell off. Something happened to this guy. I think this is also during their divorce, if I'm not mistaken. I think it all started.
I don't think they got married until now.
I thought they got married right after 2, and it was, oh, you might be right. You might be right at this point. Yeah. But either way, something was up with that guy. He was just bizarre in this film. I feel like he didn't try. It was just like, such a lovable guy in the first two, like likable to lovable. And this is where he started going down this path of like, he's just stupid. Like, he's a doofus. He really wasn't great. Parker Posey gets like an A. I'm going to give Courtney Cox, I think she was the star of this film. Nev Campbell to go to Keefe's behind the scenes stuff. Yes, Columbine did affect it. There was multiple rewrites. This movie wasn't supposed to take place on a set in Hollywood. Also, there's a little, you know, controversy, as they say, with, you know, who was a big producer on this film?
Oh, the Weinstein.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein. What's this movie about? A little subtle, like, sexual harassment in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Tough for poor old Sidney's mom there. But that stuff was part of the, you know, with some of the behind the scenes of this. And then there was multiple, like, Nev Campbell didn't have time. Just told them, like, nope, not doing it. Hey, can we film all your scenes in 22 days? Yep. By the way, not your scenes. The whole film was filmed in 22 goddamn days. So to Keith's point, that's why it was being rewritten, because they had to change things on the fly.
Another thing I absolutely hate, and other movies have done this too, I hated when they did it in Ocean's 12. I think it's such a lazy thing to write in, is when a famous actress is playing a different character and they're like, oh, you look like the actress. Yeah, because they are so that Carrie Fisher scene is so maddening to me. They're like, oh my god, and like that apparently is supposed to be comedy, and then also supposed to move the plot along because they're supposed to get some more information.
But I didn't get that at all.
I hate that they did that with Julia Roberts in Ocean's 12. You're like, that is so pathetic. Because guess what? That guy looks like Brad Pitt. That guy looks like George Clooney. That guy looks like Courtney Cox. That guy looks like Parker Posey. Like, it's just so dumb that you pick and choose one actress to do that with.
And also, just slight little nerve that would go right to where you were going, Keith. I was going to bring that up, but I'll go with the other one. Jay and Silent Bob being in this film, like, as characters. What are we doing?
So they are in the same universe now. They are in the View Askewiverse. So Woodsboro happened in the same United States of Mallrats and Clerks and Chasing Amy and all those movies, apparently.
So to your guys' point, they lean into the comedy in this one more than the other two. And this is the least funny of the three so far.
Right.
By far.
Because you know what helps with I don't need to explain this to you, but what helps in when it helps in horror movies is you are so tense that something that isn't necessarily that funny breaks the tension and you're able to laugh a little bit. You're like, oh, good. But when this movie's never scary and it's just going for jokes, you're never really at that place where you're like kind of like, you know, holding your girlfriend's hand or whatever. Like, you're never at that point. And so
I'm never at that point anyways.
Oh, okay, fair. But you're just like, you're sitting there like, but you're not like, oh, I got to turn the light on. Like, you're not you're not like that at all watching this. And so when they just go for jokes, you're like, all right, well, it's a poorly made comedy.
Plus there's no Stu and Randy. So it's very like the actor dependent comedy.
They shoehorn in Randy.
Yeah, they get Randy in there.
We'll get to that.
No, I got to say it here because it's part of the writing. This all ties in here because what Keith said about Carrie Fisher, they tried to do like a double tear meta, right? Like Scream did this meta thing, like things exist, all that. Now it's like actresses that we know from famous movies look like them. Oh, characters that are actual characters in movies are in this movie. And then it's like, hey, remember that guy we killed off for no goddamn reason in 2? And one of the worst death scenes, and anybody still pisses me off, is he filmed something. Just in case he died, but you didn't find it right away. You find it a year later. Right. And he explains that, hey, Sidney, by chance, are you having thoughts of like you're somebody else from your past? Well, that's how you know you're coming to the end of the trilogy. F you. This was so stupid, lazy. Like, I feel
it
like
it took me out of the movie more than anything.
It was because everybody wanted Randy, but you could have done it in such an easier way.
I remember that was as a 16-year-old me seeing that was like, all right, I'm glad Randy's back. I was so pissed with you. It's the worst the most mad I was about a horror movie death was in 2. But in 3, they bring him back, and you're like, all right, this is cheesy. It's not really believable. But he gives you a couple of good lines in there about rules of a trilogy. Something from the original is not what you expect. Like, that kind of stuff is good. And like, that's a good little nugget that you sort of add to the Randy Meeks legacy of him explaining horror movies to people.
See, I hope we'll talk about this and we'll have like a whole preview for Scream 5, but like, I hope that there's something like that for 5 some way, because I think that's where you're going to need, maybe it's not him. It'd be great if it was, and wouldn't make sense, but I don't care about sense at this point. Because this whole goddamn movie doesn't make sense, but at least Keith, you're taking the positive spin on that. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, trying.
Let's get into the music of Scream 3. How did you feel music was used? And then let's talk about this badass soundtrack.
Greatest soundtrack ever. I mean, I still have the CD somewhere in here, and it is an incredible. Somehow, it's sandwiched by Creed, the first song and the last song.
It is pretty funny.
It's like bizarre. But then it's like, it's all my favorite bands. In between that, it's just all my favorite bands, like System of a Down and Slipknot and everything else. So I am fully on board. Now, not all of those songs are in the movie. Some of them are. Was it that song by Fuel is in it? That's a pretty good use of that one. But good.
Fuel was Sunburn. That was an actual pretty popular song by them at the time.
Yeah.
I like obviously Godsmack, Static X, Power Man 5000, Orgy. It's of the time.
It is the like new metal rock of it's like a greatest hits of bands, like not the songs. Because that's the thing I loved about this. A lot of these songs were made for the soundtrack. Like Incubus, their song's Crowded Elevator, not on any album. I just know I'm a big Incubus fan. Fuel, that Sunburn was actually a hit on the radio. Orgy had a song that was also not released. Crawl by Staind, not on an album. And then just, I don't care what anybody says, What If kicks ass. That song, you can
use just like Creep. That song's hard. Yeah,
hit it. That's what I'm talking about. And they save it for the end, though. I didn't really get that. I feel like that song could have been used at a different point. Yeah. I think it's actually a weird positioning for that song. It doesn't feel like a scroll song.
To me, for the soundtrack with the Scream movies, is so counterintuitive to how most horror movies work. Because when I think of horror movies, I think of the actual like theatrical like
score.
But like they have the most unrecognizable score of any of the big horror movies. Like, it's not a John Carpenter classic.
No, and they play that Red Right Hand song.
Which is kind of cool. I think it's used better.
That I associate with Scream.
Just so you guys know, that song is six and a half minutes.
I associate it with Dumb and Dumber more than I associate it with this movie. Yeah, like, it's used better in Dumb and Dumber than here. And like all the other horror movies have like a like Dr. Dre made a fucking beat out of one of them. So like to me, like I like the soundtrack. It's more of like a teen movie than it is a horror movie soundtrack.
Yeah, that is kind of a miss. Like they don't have like when you see Michael Myers or when you see Jason Voorhees, there is that very synonymous sound behind both of them. That's a miss. Yeah, you don't have that with Ghostface at all.
But I think it speaks a little bit to the specialty of Scream, because I was glad like Scream 1 didn't have any standout like song. Because it's my favorite horror movie and like a great movie. And like the soundtrack is just like, it's just a good movie. It doesn't need that to drive the horror.
All right, let's jump. Bill, you said you had a scene here. You wanted to do, you want to spin at us.
What, act it out?
Yes.
This guy was so fucking terrible. And like they're on the movie set, they're walking on like, do you really think that the death of him had anything to do with the movie? He was making a movie called Stabbed, and he was stabbed. I saw that. I was like, that's fucking terrible.
This guy, yeah.
Like, and he was just like the short little detective.
A little pissant, yeah.
He has another like line later, like, well, what happens to the detectives in that movie? One of them lives, usually. It's like, it's so like, he's just awful. But yeah. I loved like that line. I was like, that's awful.
So you get I like this one. It was a back and forth between Sidney Prescott and Detective Mark. And she goes, hey, Detective, what's your favorite scary movie? He says, my life. And she goes, mine too. I was like, man, that is deep stuff. Real deep. Wow.
When that scene comes on, it's cringe. It's like douche chills. What are we doing here? What are we doing? And like the whole love that
it's awful, but it creates to me the most suspense in the movie because I thought it was him the whole time.
Me too. But my life.
No,
the way
is,
he delivers it.
He leans in.
Yeah, he does. He does. This is a minor spoiler for Billy because he hasn't seen Scream 4. So do you want me to save it, Rossi?
I can hear Buffs.
Save it for a moment. Save it for a moment.
I'll save it.
So next, Legacy. What is the most memorable thing? And I'm going to be honest. I usually have one that stands out like nobody's business. I have a hard time with this one. But Billy or Keith, you guys can go first. What is the most what stands out to you from Scream 3?
Well, they kind of fuck up how good the first one is. Like they kind of take away from one of the most unique killer reveals and like motives and the whole thing, and that closing scene in Scream is still like, it's like haunting and it's just fucking violent and it's over the top, and you're like, man, even though I thought maybe Billy might have been, I definitely didn't think Stu was involved, and just the whole back and forth, and then this later on you're like, oh, the fucking brother we didn't know about convinced those guys to do this. So, like, they wouldn't have done this on their own. So that's the part that kind of bugs me, is like, it's one thing if you want to tweak a couple things, but don't ruin the bet, like the best horror movie ever, or at least try to ruin it with that reveal. So that's probably the thing that stands out the most to me.
So to me, I just took that out of my brain immediately. I was like, nope, yeah, didn't happen. I was like, he's lying. He's making it all up. And that's how I choose to look at this, because there was no mention of him. He's just a maniac. And that's how I play it off, because you're right. And that is the legacy that it tried to ruin that movie to me. And it's the only thing I've ever seen from this movie previous. And I've always wanted to see it happen somewhere, is when he throws the knife and the butt of the knife hits him in the head.
That's
I just loved that. That was on my show. I loved that. I thought that was fucking a nice.
That was a big part of the commercial and the trailer too. That was like,
was you thought,
because it was just a thing flying at Dewey, and you're like, is he gonna die there? And then in theaters, clonks him on the head. Hilarious.
But like, I loved it, because like that, like I want that kind of stuff in these kind of movies, like things you don't usually see.
I think for me to go like somewhere in between, I just think it was just horrible killer, like horrible killer, regardless of ruining, like the sense it was ridiculous. Like it didn't truly like really like the whole story. Like we're going this far. Why to take this long? First of all, if your real plot, first of all, if everybody wants to kill Sydney, I've said this through all three of these. If you want to kill her, kill her. Like she's sleeping in on her couch in the first one at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. Now we'll wait till she wakes up to try to get her. Horrible. Second one, you had 80 chances to kill this woman in a cop car, all these places. Now we're gonna string it out till she gets to a stage. This one, it's like, just kill her. All right, just do it. Don't make it suspenseful. Just go up, stab her in public. Why do you need the mask? That stood out. The scene where the house explodes. I know it's not really what people are gonna remember, but it's one of the most ridiculous deaths in history of all horror movies.
It's so dumb. Like,
hey, they're getting facts.
Long lead up, and you're like, hey, they got him all at the perfect time,
and he used a light. Like, they knew he had a lighter. Like,
so we're left to believe that Roman's just sitting there firing off faxes and like knowing
how long,
like,
the fax takes.
Also, I love the fact that like when Dion Richmond dies eventually, like Dewey goes to look for him. It's like he was being chased by the killer and he was already stabbed. Like that dude is fucking dead. Then he sees him. He's like, oh my God. I'm like,
And he broke his neck too. Yeah. Like that was brutal spin off the carpet.
And then another one is the death of Parker Posey is in a mirror. He stabs her. She falls through said mirror. Killer, not there. Mm. When I was a kid, it bothered me.
I did like that scene though.
Yeah, but where'd he go?
No, this is cool. It's a cool like setting, but
But then like there's not a out valve between. It was just those. I just felt like those things stood out. But at the end of the day, I think really the ending is the most like memorable scene, but not really for the right reasons.
Yeah. No, the reveal of the killer was the worst.
Yeah. So now let's go to the then, now, forever. Did this movie stand the test of time 21 years later?
No.
Absolutely not.
I think
it didn't. And it gets worse with the viewing too. And you get a little bit more frustrated because one is probably perfect. Two is a really good sequel. And then three. And at the time it was like, yeah, this is the trilogy. These are the only three you're going to get. We're not going to do 12, like, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street and Halloween. We're only going to do these three. And you're like, and as a horror movie fan, it's akin to The Godfather. Scream and Scream 2 are Godfather, Godfather 2, and then Godfather Part 3. You're like, this isn't this group? Like, how are these movies connected?
Oh, which they reference in Scream 2, too.
Yeah.
There you go.
Because they were still going good. This movie does break the Jason Rossi rule of trilogies, you know, but the last one.
The second one. Not the worst one.
No, and they announced, and they did announce when 2 came out, there would be a third.
But you weren't on that track at that point, because Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man wasn't out yet. Yeah, it was a couple years later. Spider-Man. For me, it does not. And Keith, we've talked about this in the past. I truly believe outside of the Cotton Wary death, you could go 1, 2, 4. Aside from wondering potentially what happened to that character, there's nothing in this film that you need to go into 4. They literally don't talk about this.
It's actually pretty crazy that it is not at all referenced. It is not at all like important in the universe, like you said. There's 10 characters die in Scream 3. 9 of them debuted in Scream 3. So
That is a problem with any genre, anything. Like, you need to kill characters, But more importantly, you need to kill important characters, and that's what like they things knew. Like Game of Thrones did right yeah. away. Like, and they yes. kept it to like the last season. But that's like that's what like I learned early on in school is like you kill your characters. So
yeah, you have to.
But you have to make it mean something.
But I also think that I'm okay with Cotton Weary dying, but it's also a character that I think they could have used better. Like he was a cool kind of behind the scenes reference character, the relationship with Gale, how he just wants to be famous, how he didn't really do it. And like, but he was the one that like served prison time for it. Like he was a cool character,
but I think that's like,
he has a show and he's dead.
Yeah. I think that's why the first two movies were so good is they killed off so many important people that like it meant so much every time somebody died. Cause you're like, that person? Oh, shit. Mm. And even when Randy died, you're like, it sucked.
They should have done it a different way, but I'm with you. Like, that's
like, a major that's like character. It's an impactful death.
But if and I could, I would have swapped out David Arquette for Jamie Kennedy in a second.
You could have.
So would Courtney Cox. But I'm telling you, the thing about what you brought up about Cotton Weary is like, he didn't get his just deserves in this film. Think about it. We find out at the end, it's Sid's mysterious brother who, by the way, just going into the whole voice boxing just quickly, we got a little supernatural in this thing. We didn't need that. It was one voice.
That's not a thing that exists.
No, and to this day, it does not.
No, 21 years ago, it certainly didn't exist. Even now.
Even now, but like the dead mother one, to me, the other ones, I was like, okay, maybe in like some fantasy land, but like the dead mother, like what are you getting off an answering machine? Like,
and they're like 5 feet each other. You couldn't hear the voice. It's just, I really didn't like that. Stinks. That thing stunk. And then my point is though, like this guy is the reason Cotton Weary went to jail. What, like we all thought it was like Sydney and the father, but like actually it was this dickhead. And he doesn't even get to like be involved in that. Like he either needed to come out as like a big hero in this film, or as I thought originally coming in, because I was a big Cotton Weary fan, one of the coolest names in all horror movie history.
And the best name for a television show ever.
A 100% Cotton.
110%
Cotton. Oh, good. 110% egg. Oh, bro. Get out of here.
Oh, and his lady friend too. Steal a smooch.
Meow. But yeah, I thought he was going to be a bigger role in this one as well. I get like that's what they were trying to do early, get like the shock, but like no. And when you're that famous, that doesn't like there would be a much bigger profile deal than these stabbed actors on a set. By the way, that was a whole nother thing. A famous midday talk show is like if Oprah just gets murdered during that time, I don't think we're just going to be like, oh, who's dying on that third movie of a film?
Stab 3, yeah,
yeah.
The set of Stab 3 where they did a contest to see who would play Sydney.
Yeah. I don't think Kelly Clarkson's getting any big roles today.
Oh, perhaps.
Whoa. She's body positive. Any final thoughts here before you want to rate this pup? Anything else that you thought of when you watch this wonderful film that you want to just get out of your system?
Well, so again, this is a very, very minor spoiler to Billy. It's the only movie of the Screams that has one killer.
Yes.
And it's
And
it's also the only, like, and it's just the only movie that doesn't ever get referenced again, or all it does is try to mess with the first one. There's nothing in the first two that would set up the fact that she has a brother or anything like that. There's nothing that, like, I don't know. It's just, it's so different from the other ones besides the mask and besides Sydney, Dewey and Gale. It's so different from the other three.
Yes. Yeah. Cause I thought there were going to be two killers the whole time because that's what it had set me up for.
Two killers is great. Two killers is perfect.
It's awesome because it also sets up so many of the things that they're doing. And like, they did kind of play into that. There was only like one time where the killer could have been doing both things, which made sense in the end. But like the two killers is just more fun for me. One thing that stood out the whole time, Courtney Cox's bangs. I don't know if it was of the time, but they were just like too high, too sharp, too spaced out. It threw me off the whole movie because I think she is
fashion Billy.
I like her.
No, I agree.
Like it goes for me on Friends, like her, Phoebe, then Rachel. I don't know why, but that's how I rank them.
Phoebe too.
I like Phoebe.
Yeah. Somebody's got to take her. Right. Okay, so let's play it out. If there was a second killer in this film, take Patrick Dempsey because we already kind of talked. Like who else could you have seen? Would you have liked? And just before you answer that, I'll give you a second. There was, in the early stages of this film, a return of Stu in this. I don't know if you've read that or seen that they were actually going to bring Stu back to be a part of this film. Because he still claims, well, Matthew Lillard, that he didn't die when the television fell.
Yeah, that's a tough sell to me, but maybe you could get him back. Maybe he's got, you know, bandages around his head for a while. And he
to
looks
me, that would be a big news story if the Woodsboro killer didn't die.
I would be in, though, on his return somehow, even if you kind of have to fudge it a little bit, because that may be the only one that you could probably do that with. So for me, the second killer, and they alluded to it a lot, so maybe it would have been too over the top, but Angelina, who was playing Sidney Prescott, just because as soon as they referenced the, oh, like 5,000 people auditioned for this and you got it, I was like, boom. Like, okay, she got it. And if the director's already the killer, he cast her. Very simple. But they laid it on kind of thick with like the, oh, I just want to take these as keepsakes. And I have this fake knife and I have the mask and all this. And you're like, all right. But like, I thought she would have been good.
And didn't she go to like high school with her? Wasn't that like the weird, or did that not come out? So I've watched the movie twice, but I also watched these mockumentary or like.
Oh, she didn't go to high school with her. So, Scream 4.
Yes.
The police officer went to high school with them, but yeah.
So there was a version of this script where that's what her story was. As if she were to be the killer, she went to high school. Nobody knew her when
to me, it would be just the director.
Yeah.
Like once they showed the boots first with that girl creeping back up into the toilet, I was like, it's not her. Like she also weighs like what, 90 pounds? Like there's no way she's going around dominating people with a knife. No offense, but like that, like the things she was doing in some scenes were supernatural. Mm-hmm. But it would just be that, like this one, like I had the detective pinned and maybe the director, but it was a decent mislead when he was dead in the casket. But like just write him as a better person than the dead mother's son.
Right.
Yeah, please. The only other one, like I agree with both mentioned, the director would have made sense because these people trying to get famous, trying to bring some pub, like the director we talked about in Scream 2, we thought the same thing. But in this one, the only other person I could see was the actress of Parker Posey being Gail Weathers, because there was something about her that I just thought, hey, let me be, like people are doing this stuff mostly to become famous. That's what this, you know, Scream trope is. So I thought that they could have went that way too. Yeah. But really after watching it, I would have taken anybody. Just give me somebody else. Give me something. Maybe like somebody like, hey, just kidding. And also a lot of way over usage of bulletproof vests. There was a lot of that in this film. A
lot of bulletproof vests. Yep. Very smart. Yep.
Nobody shoots in the head.
Brother like sister.
Yeah, they know. All right. Let's give it the rating. Keith, 1 in 11 over here for the PCP scale. What would you rate Scream 3?
5.
Billy.
I'm going to give it a 5.9. I liked it. No, like I enjoyed it as.
Okay, hold on. What stops it from being a 6?
I mean, I could give it a 6.9. That would have been nice.
No, that's way too high. That's way too
But, like, yeah, I feel like, I don't know, like, first time watching it, I just enjoyed, like, I ordered a pizza, had some beers. It was a time.
What does that have to do with the movie?
But, like, I had fun watching it. It was an enjoyable experience. Like
when he had a bucket of popcorn in front of him when he was 15. He liked it. So,
I mean, so like, this is my first time watching this film. I enjoyed it. 5.9. I'll give it a 6 for Matt's sake.
All right. I had it at a 4.5, and I highly do not recommend on my, if you're, unless you're just banging out the screams. Because this
like,
is the thing.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't miss it necessarily. I agree with the fact that it doesn't make any sense. You could stop after the opening scene, but like, it's still fun to watch the people that you like interact in the universe that you know.
Billy, I'm going to try to create a cut. It goes Scream 1, Scream 2, the opening of Scream 3, Scream 4.
Oh, Billy, when you watch Scream 4, just remember the final like 10 minutes of Scream 3. And then pop on Scream 4 and be like, is that ever referenced? Is that ever happened? Is that even a thing? Are you guys going to discuss this at all?
What happened to Roman? Sydney doesn't remember him when she's talking about everything that's happened to her in her past? That's
what happened to Mark? Where's Mark at?
Gone. Yeah, that ending scene also. What were we doing there?
They're getting a big bowl of popcorn, getting ready to watch a film.
Like, I don't know about her. Doors open. A door closed like that. And Sydney Prescott. Well, whatever happened to that door, I would have my gun out just like straight pointing. Like I would be
I'm doing.
There was another in the director's cut or one of the films that, or maybe it's liner notes in the DVD. I didn't have this again watching YouTube stuff, and they showed it that the original cut of that was the door slightly starts to open. Sydney looks, door opens more. Sydney glows, closes the door, walks over as some song plays, door reopens.
Yeah.
Instead, she's just like, hey, that door's open. Everybody cool with that? Because I am, because nothing spooky happens in my life.
Okay, it's nice warm out in California. Breeze coming in. No bugs.
4.5 a 5, and basically a 6. We're going to just even this thing out overall. We'll just give it a 5.5 PCP rating, and that is a do not watch. Do not watch. Anything, any last notes on Scream 3?
No, it was just, it was a miss, but it's also one of the reasons why I was so happy that they did a Scream 4. And now that they're doing a Scream 5, like, I'm all for more movies, and especially four. Not to tip my hand here, Billy, not to give too much away. I think, I mean, ones you're never going to touch. I do like two more than four, but they're both much better than three. So it was like, it was worth doing, and it kind of helps out a lot.
It was worth doing, period.
Yep.
Oh, I hit the wrong button. I'm in the wrong section. This week in
lore. Shared Gooniverse.
Okay, so
we have him. Why don't we just ask him?
Yeah, all right. Well, I was gonna do the other people and then set him up. But Keith, what do you got?
Well, on Monday night we are going to be doing Dune. So our next episode is Dune, the movie that was both in theaters and on HBO Max. And then Tuesday, as we mentioned before, Tuesday, November 2nd at 3 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Adam Cole Bebe is going to join the show.
Yeah. And you just did the 2021 horror movies.
Yes. Last week we just went through. How many of those have you seen, Rossi? I've seen like 23 of them.
Me and the life partner upstairs, we watched you guys live because we were seeing how many. So I've seen at least 20.
Yeah.
And not proud of a lot of them.
No, most of them kind of suck. There's like the top group. I loved Candyman. I loved the Fear Street trilogy. Don't Breathe 2, I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, definitely gonna watch that comedy one with the AT&T girl.
Werewolves Within.
Yes.
And those are all the ones that are worth watching. After that, it's kind of dodgy.
I missed Don't Breathe 2, and I'm like not excited for it, but I just recently watched finally, because I'm a huge Babysitter fan. I think that movie's fantastic. Bill, that's another one. Babysitter, you'll love. I just watched Babysitter 2, but I liked it. You
liked it? I didn't like
it. Maybe it's because it waited so long and I kind of lost touch with the first one. Like, we were hooting and hollering up there, Keith.
Oh,
we
you're having a good time?
Oh, yeah. It was a little aphrodisiac up there.
Oh, Jesus. A couple oysters, a little bit of horror movies.
Yeah, a little Babysitter, Scream Queen, watch out. Or no, Killer Queen. But Billy, yes, highly recommend, especially for this weekend. It's not really Halloween, but like the Babysitter is excellent.
That's great. Right?
And that's up your cat. A little bloody, but no, more like tons of laughs.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought 2021 overall for horror movies, like films in general has been tough because we don't know where to see them. But like Don't Breathe. So wait, did you see that in theater?
No, it came out and it was one of those things that it was streaming, but for like $5.
Oh, yeah, I'm cheap.
So it might be free now because I saw it a while ago because I was like, I'm not going to pay 20 for it, but it popped up on demand for like $5. I'm like, I'll watch it.
I may have missed. Did you guys talk about, because we didn't see the whole thing. I noticed most of your list. Did you have Old in there?
I didn't see it. Davey did. Davey didn't like it.
Okay. I got to check it out. It's now finally like available to watch, but
not for me.
You know, M. Night Shyamalan?
No, Davey said it was so bad that I'm not going to waste my time.
It's so bad. Now I got to see it.
I'm like, get out of my way.
Bill, what else has been going on with the boys in the Dork Shared Gooniverse?
So Dune, not in your chocolatey drink, but I think Mac and you did that this upcoming week, but they also did the 1989 classic Aliens.
Yes.
And then CMM, I'm going to steal this joke, did Hockey Equipment. Pineapple Boys took a hiatus. Docs had a crazy week. And who else is in this thing?
Oh, we got TLDR
did books.
Books. TLDR did books.
I need that. I got to figure out how to like get them to do like long-term books so I can just like listen to them instead of reading real books.
You want them to narrate books on tape.
I would listen to Fryer like read a book.
No, I would not. I wouldn't listen to anything Fryer does, and he's on my network.
I don't listen to his podcast, but
I don't tune in. And I know I think we skipped our what's on your mind, out of my mind. But I do have one thing for Keith.
Do you want me to hit it, Bill? Do you want me to hit it hard?
Sure. So, as now an avid listener to the Gresh and Keith show, sorry, Rossi, I didn't listen to yours.
No, I got to say this. Throughout my entire tenure of, I worked.
Did you ever watch Boston Sports Tonight? No. And I produced the show for years.
It's a little different.
So go to hell.
I know. Hold on. When I was at 92.9, we used to like do shows. I'd be like, anybody want to go to the show? No. I left that station, and then our friend Lauren was like, I listen to that Dave, that Chuck, the Freak. They're hilarious. I'm like, cool. I'm at EI. Nobody says a word. Now it's like, obviously, many reasons why. It's nothing to do with me, but it's just always done that. So I should just go place if people want to like listen to it later.
You're like Buck Showalter. As soon as he wins, they win the World Series.
It's true.
I look just like him too.
Keith has watched Squid Game, which is fantastic.
I have.
So one quick thing. 1.9
billion people have watched it, by the way.
Yeah, and Rossi refuses to, and I really want to review
it. It's not a refusal. It is
pretty
Halloween month. Yeah. It's Halloween month, and once it's over.
LeBron, who I know you don't like.
I do not.
Had a problem with the ending. Did you hear what the director had to say to him?
No, I haven't heard. I knew. I just all I saw was the headline was like LeBron is wants a different ending, but what he said.
So the director said, "I've watched 6 NBA finals that I think ended the way he didn't want to. He should worry about his own endings."
Oh my God! Got him. The greatest director of all time. Oh, I got a new favorite guy.
That is fantastic. That is
so good.
What a burn! I saw that today. I was like, "Oh my God!"
That was the ultimate burn.
It's funny too because a lot of the like clickbait articles made you believe he was talking about like Space Jam. I thought it had something to do with that. Then you click it and you're like, oh, he got him. Good. He
went after all of his finals losses.
Smoked him. The only thing I really have is nothing to do with like much, but got a ticket last night. This thing right here. Street cleaning. No signs for street cleaning. How much do you guess this ticket's for in Boston?
$40.
Yeah, you did 50? Yeah.
40? $90.
Whoa.
Homeboy took a picture. I'm fighting this. I haven't fought in a ticket in a long time. I'm fighting this thing. City of Boston, you're on the list.
Is that right outside of Gannis Arena last night?
Yeah, like I was right outside of Sunset Cantina. I stayed late night, closed that puppy down.
With the By the way, who the fuck did you go with?
Oh, I saw your little troll tweet. I ain't telling you.
Friends. I didn't go.
Myself. You know that.
I didn't go. Kevin didn't go. I would have went.
Friends? You have two friends?
Yeah, like wrestling. Keith, did you go?
I did not go. No.
I called him up. I said, Bell, would you please? No, I went with the Bissettes.
Okay. That's
and funny. Then I went with a guy. There was a guy that I've known for years. Like, I don't think you know him. This guy, Evan. He's a good dude.
Mm-hmm. I think that's
wrestling friend. Wrestling friend. Not made up. I have pictures. You want pictures, Bill?
I don't want pictures, but I was a little concerned. The Bissettes make sense. But, like, if me, Keith, and Kevin aren't going, I was like, who the fuck is that?
This is like, oh, my wrestling? Like, you think that that's it? I saw Jay Stu there. He was by himself on the other side. I was like, hey, man. Yeah. I was waving to him.
He's usually by himself.
Yeah, so he's in the front row.
He always is. Always is. Sneaky. He's got long arms. Sneaky, huge man. Anyways, Keith, anything you want to get off of you, out of your mind? Out of your
No, I'm just, honestly, I can't wait to talk to Adam Cole next week. I am absolutely fired up for this.
I will say one thing that I'd be interested if you do touch upon. So they main evented this episode, so the last episode that he'll be on of Dynamite, mm-hmm. and they were in Ghostbusters getup. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like slapstick. It was hilarious. It was fun. But like he even has to, like the self-awareness that the way AEW, I'd be interested, like his thoughts, like does he think he could do that in his previous employer compared to where he is now? And how does he think the internet would respond to it?
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
Like I think people would have killed if that was like the Undisputed Era on Raw. It has to be Raw, not NXT as much.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say that just from what I've seen with like the Elite, like the way the Young Bucks are, like they're way more comedic anyway?
Oh, yeah.
The way the Young Bucks operate is completely different. Have you seen the indie stuff with like the referees?
Yeah, oh, yeah. And like just and like the way like what those guys wear to the ring when they're not wrestling. Like I think, yeah, it's kind of like no
they
surprise.
Got the ear piercing to the nose.
Like that's all that stuff. And I just think. Yeah, I mean, it's the Halloween episode of Dynamite, right? Like, so why? Yeah.
I'm in all agreement, but like every time something happens on one side, it's like, that's the stupidest thing. I'd be interested because he's just came out of that.
Yeah.
But it, you know, one minor thing, but I thought, honestly, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. His name, you know, is Chubbs, is what he goes by, and is like internet profile, which is his story.
On Twitch, yeah.
It's yeah, because like, it was him, Tyler Breeze, Cesaro, Xavier Woods did a lot
of
stuff.
That's his gamer tag? That's
great. Yeah. Those guys like it's a whole that's why I think this is going to be so big for that for you guys like that probably you're gonna get so much attention because I believe his fans and people that watch that stuff any of them catch any of it they'll align perfectly with what you guys do with
I hope so guys. Man I'm looking forward to it
just, you know, then you can just slide in his DMs. But again, that's gonna be happening.
No, Adam, you want to come to the house?
Yeah, you and Britt want to like come over
for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, some dentist work done too.
Yeah, that's right. I could go for a new dentist.
Have you gone to the dentist again recently?
I went. Oh yeah, no. I took years off, yep, but since same. No. I go regularly or every 6 months now. Yeah,
bring that up too. See how his teeth are. Again, he is Rich Keefe of the Dork Podcast, WEI, with Gresh and Keefe. So you can check out, again, you said Monday, Dune.
Monday night, Dune, normal time, normal everything. Davey definitely in the house for that. Tuesday, maybe not so much. Me and Adam Cole, 3 o'clock. So all right, episodes next week.
Davey would have sucked on that anyways. I would have never complimented him. One other thing. Dune, somebody that like ain't for me right now, like I have no interest. Yeah. Is it worth, you think it's something like I could dive into or should dive into?
Yes. Yep. I went in with like, I didn't know a ton about it. Like, I think I saw the original movie forever ago. I never read the book. And so I was just like, I'll see how this is. And I was sucked right in. So yeah, it's good.
Okay. We'll get into it. Bill, are you going to Dune?
Yeah. Mainly because one of the people I know said people who haven't read the book shouldn't see it. So out of spite, wait, I'm going to see it.
Somebody said,
good.
Oh, I know what you're talking. I know what you're referencing. So if you don't, I don't think there's any of that book you have to see, and that's bull crap. If you ever read the book, because it's horrible. Like, it's long, drawn out, and there's a lot of really gross things that happen in it.
Well, sometimes it ruins it for you. Like, Dr. Joe read the comic book Sweet Tooth. I never did, and he said it ruined the show for him, whereas I loved the show. So
show was awesome.
Like, the Harry Potter movies, not as good as the books. Because, Dumbledore isn't as good a character in the movies as he is in the books.
I really don't know how to read books, so I'll get that one later. But he is at the Dork at Dork Podcast, at Rich Keefe 21, at Billy Yee on the old on Twitter. And just be, are you going to get kicked off anytime soon again? Have you been cleaning it up? Have you made the burner accounts like we talked about?
No, and I've been posting stuff, and I think I'm going to post something for the Mac and Goo podcast, so then I'll get kicked off with some music soon too. So I'll be off again soon. It'll be a thing.
just don't follow Billy. Never mind. Just if he's there, cool, great.
Instagram's kind of cool. They let me do my thing. Follow me.
We'll be back next. We're gonna figure out Scream 4, and then Keith, we're gonna bring you back in when we do a preview towards the end of this year, beginning of next year for Scream 5. We'll have a whole panel of folks. We're gonna have a whole shindig for that one, because right now they're in the driver's seat. We talked about this on the other I Know What You Did Last Summer, but Halloween Kills was an absolute bomb, atrocious. They have 3 months to figure this out. Change the rewrite.
Yeah,
atrocious. But yeah, that's my thought on it. I'm excited for Scream 5. I think right now they're in the horror. Like, let's get this. Like, don't screw this up.
Mm-hmm.
Drive it home, baby. But we will be back next week again. Scream 4. Again, thanks to Keith for joining us. Billy, any final words for the fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.